Welcome back to the Discovering Forestry podcast. I'm one of your hosts. My name is Corey, joined by our friend, industry expert, Mr. Arbor Joe Aitken, here for another compelling conversation about trees. Joe, I got a smile, I got a laugh, and I'm hoping at least one or two of our listeners do this too, but you ever cut up broccoli so you could steam it for dinner and realize that you're making those cuts like you would prune cut a tree? I just got done doing that tonight.
Corey, you know what? I never thought of it that way, but yes, it drives me nuts the way my wife cuts it up. So I got to recut it. I never thought of that because I always separate the stubs and the stumps. That is brilliant. You caught me off guard on that one, but I guess you just can't get away from it.
Man, I was doing the three-cut method on little stalks of broccoli so I could steam them up for dinner tonight. I caught myself.
Well, because nobody wants the stubs.
Well, that's just it. You got to make the proper cut so a compartment. Wait, what am I doing?
I will honestly say to our listeners, I wasn't ready for that. Yeah, that's awesome, Corey. We can't even introduce our guest yet because it got me laughing. And you got you laughing, Corey. That's great.
That's good. We got to change it up a little bit. Our guest tonight, we'll get to him in a sec because he has been on the show before. Always a great conversation. And Joe, we're going to take this in a different direction. But before we get there, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. And I'm glad our guest is back on tonight because I think it's going to do the industry a favor by having him on again. I don't think that it resonated enough to the value enough to what's coming up and how we look at trees. And I'm hoping that we can kind of hover our discussion tonight with our guest in between forestry and urban forestry. There's some technology coming up that's going to benefit us both. Obviously the first quarter, you and I do a lot of trade shows, a lot of traveling, and we're seeing a lot of people. And I was walking through the Landscape Ontario Congress. Now, this is a landscape outdoor show that rivals with TCI Expo. It's enormous, right by the Toronto Airport in Canada. Walking through there one morning, and I stop. They had an ag drone in there that I swear to God that could carry my robust ass around and go look at trees. And I'm thinking, that is the coolest thing I think. So it had me thinking, I was getting a little philanthropic. I love history. Everybody knows this. And I know that we've tried things in the past, but we have to get out of our own way and realize that there's technology and other that could really improve what we do on a day-to-day basis. And why don't more people do it? It's mind-boggling, Corey.
Well,
mind-boggling.
That's going to be our perfect conversation tonight and the perfect way to start it. Because our guest, if some of the listeners can go back, a handful of episodes, maybe last year at this time, we had Dan on talking about Arbor Drone and using drones in tree care. Well, Joe, just kind of like you're saying right here, we're going to all these trade shows. We're seeing new trends, artificial intelligence, AI. I mean, there's all sorts of things that I think we're just on the precipice of what they could really do.
And I think you're right, Corey, but our listeners, like a lot of terms that we toss around in arboriculture, forestry, I'm hoping we could define what AI is and what it does. And how does that fit with our day-to-day? If you don't look to the future, you'll die in the past. You got to look at the technology now to build your company for the future. So let's let it rip. Let's get our guest Dan on. Corey, would you please reintroduce Dan to our listeners and let's get Dan involved. I know he's probably itching to get to get some cool stuff out there. But introduce our guest tonight.
All right, everybody, Arbor Drone Dan. Dan. He's like, God bless you, gave broccoli to Joe and I get Arbor Drone Dan. Dan, welcome back to the podcast. How are you? What's new? What are you working on?
I am really intimidated by that introduction, and I don't know how I can surpass that. And why don't we just end this right now? Because I can't
beat broccoli,
up.
Dan. It's going to be a tough, it's going to be an uphill battle, but if anybody can do it, I believe you can.
Chard is how I'm going to do that.
Charred broccoli?
All right, Dan, what's new? What are you seeing? You're kind of the tech guy that we always go to. So what's up?
So one of the reasons why I wanted to bring this up and have this discussion today was that everyone probably by now has heard about generative AI and ChatGPT and Bard and all these things. And what is it? What can I use it for? Is it this thing that's, really intimidating? Is it going to take my job? Am I going to lose my job? Is my dad going to lose my job? All this sort of thing. And so really, that's what I wanted to discuss today, with your audience, with a larger audience. And that's why I'm here.
And I thank you, Dan, for coming. And we always have a great time. Let's go through a couple of the acronyms, AI, IT, or something that's coming up, and let's explain them. Let's break them down to Mr. Dirt Forester. And to become a forester, I'm not trying to discredit becoming a forester, because obviously you have to have your degree, you're college educated, you decide if forestry is your way you're going to go. Let's put it to a point where our listeners understand what this actually means. Because I'm not going to lie, when you talk about AI, artificial intelligence, I myself have a hard time understanding what that definition is.
Okay, let's do it this way. Let's think about this. And so depending upon how old you are, if you've got a gray beard, and I see that Corey has very little gray in his beard, and so you're not part of this conversation from here on out. Exactly. So when we were growing up, we read a lot of science fiction and fantasy to try and understand in a different way what novels did to try and help us understand the world and people and all that kind of stuff. And so the authors of science fiction tried to, paint worlds where they thought that, technology would send us to, right? And so Isaac Asimov and iRobot and all these sort of things. And we may or may not get there. It depends upon, lots of stuff that, are way out of the scope of the discussion today. But what is happening right now with artificial intelligence, and we'll talk about this here and explain all this, is that finally, or maybe eventually, who knows, it depends upon your point of view, is we have enough computing power to enable computers to figure stuff out. And so it started with chess and checkers, and finally a program beat the world chess champion, and then we've got that moved on to Deep Blue, moved on to solving problems with medicine, and it's just moved on from there. So
is this an evolution of a statistician?
Yes. Part of it is exactly that, yes. And so when you look at statistics, the way that, and we'll get into this, and this is one of the things we'll talk about, large language models, LLM. This is what large language models do, is they partially use statistics to look at all these data that are out there that says, oh, when I say, tell me more, and they look out at, you know, a billion bytes of data, what are the chances that tell me more means A, B, C, and D? And then they make that a likelihood and they go on from there, right? And so that is all that this computing power is doing, is looking at everything that's out on the interwebs and out in the literature and wherever it can access. And the stuff that we do now, you know, that Google crawls and Microsoft, you know, takes all our stuff and Facebook and all that, you know, whoever's going to sell all that data to, these large language models go out there and look at it and do a statistical representation of what they find and say, what's the likelihood of me answering Joe asking, dude, what's up with that? As something, you know, from all the you know, the quadrillion bits of data that they found, you know, to analyze that into something that says, yo, bro, what's up? Right. And it's all about statistics. That's exactly right.
So, all right. And like I said, I'm one of the gray guys. So I think it's pretty incredible. And what's incredible is I think a lot of our listeners can assimilate this too. You Google a search for a new chainsaw. All right, I'm looking for a new, and I'm looking for a new electric chainsaw. So I put that in the Google bar. And next thing you know, on all my social media are ads on that chainsaw. Is that part AI?
Part of it is AI, yes, absolutely. Yes. And so
they're answering questions that they think that I'm asking.
Yes. And so Google is the biggest perpetrator, you know, whatever word you want to put into that, you know, guilty party, you know, however you want to look at that. Google crawls everything that you do. Let me do a segue real quick. So a couple of the videos that I have ready to go, I was just going to upload one today to my channel, and the video editor that I used blew it up. But the point that I was saying, and it'll be out there in a couple of days, is that the way that these browsers crawl and collect your data, whether or not we want to participate in that or not, the video that I made was using DuckDuckGo, which does not crawl those data. So it, you know, makes your responses a little bit different than the way that Google crawls data. But I'm going to bring this back. I swear to God, I'm going to bring this back. So the two companies that are buying the most chips that do processing and all those other computational things are Google and Microsoft. And the company that makes the most chips is NVIDIA, and NVIDIA's two biggest customers by far are Google and Microsoft. Microsoft Bing, Google Search. How are you going to process all that data? Whether or not that's good or bad, you know, I'm not here to say, you know, that's good or bad. I'm just saying it's what it is, right? And how we are in 2024 with all this stuff. And when you think about, you know, your search parameters in Google or anything else, that's learning. And Amazon is the same thing. Amazon is learning off of all your search stuff, and they're looking to make money. Amazon is looking to make money to sell you crap that, you know, you searched on, and you know, that's a value add for them for AI. And so you can walk that back to Google or a large language model, you know, Bard or ChatGPT or whatever. It's learning off of all the stuff that you input to it and all the questions that you make to say, hey, you know, I'm an arborist. I'm talking about an arborist now. Say, hey, what's the species? What's the range, you know, of this species right here? So look at here, I'm going to ingest this Excel spreadsheet of all my species of my city. And so where can I go, you know, somewhere else to say that, I look to the south and climate change where it's hotter and say, you know, how many of these species are extant in my city that I'm looking at that's going to be my climate in 60 years, and 20% of them are living right now. You know, it's that kind of stuff.
So is that what you're mostly seeing the application for artificial intelligence right now in urban forestry? It's kind of the planning phase of it, or do you think people are trying to maybe use some of this AI to either write up reports, or maybe they're just using it to educate themselves or the customers more? What are you seeing? What do you think?
Well, you just nailed it right there, and that's an excellent question. And so what people are doing right now is they're trying to get their hands around what they have right where they are, right? So are you looking at wildland urban interface, and you're looking at fire, and are you looking at, you know, all this stuff, you know, how I'm no longer in Colorado, but when I lived there, like, all we cared about was, oh my God, you know, what, you know, what's all this stuff. And we went down into the flats outside of Boulder and we had a fire there, and nobody ever thought of that kind of stuff, right? And so is artificial intelligence going to be able to help us get our minds around this kind of stuff, you know, or our distance of Ponderosa or Lodgepole or something like that from, you know, is it more than a fall distance? It's all these kind of things, right? Sure. And that's part of it. And the other part of it is when we're looking at climate change, we absolutely need to have a better tool to help us crawl through our Google results to be able to say, oh no, this is garbage, I can't use this anymore, you know, I need something better than this, you know, why don't I look at ChatGPT or Bard to help me filter through all this crap so I can, you know, do a better job at trying to help my client in the wildland urban interface say, hey, you know, is this underbrush going to be a problem in 20 years, you know, what can I do with a better understory tree, you know, looking farther to the south, how far to the south, where do I go, what do I look for, you know, how much do I thin these things, you know, what's going to be my mortality for this Doug fir, what's going to be my mortality for this balsam fir down in the lowlands, those kind of things. And so these tools are way more than helpful to help us get our minds around, you know, our client and what their problem is.
Dan, in episodes in the past, we talked about Google Roulette. And what I mean by that is that obviously a buyer beware, I'm leaning this towards trees. Be careful, you know, you got to dig deep, and there's got to be more than one search, and there's got to be, is that where, as AI improves, in apps improve, that we can streamline this to be more effective? Now, I know it's the wave of the future, because I think I use on my phone, is it Plant Snap?
Yep.
And so far, I've been an arborist for a long time, and there's always a tree you can't identify. And I was up in northern Michigan and came up with, in a very high end to do area, and it popped up Sitka spruce. That's not supposed to even be here.
Really?
Yeah. And wow. Believe it or not, we couldn't figure out what kind of tree it was. And we found the cones, the bark, and some needles. And that's what it came up with. Is this the direction of apps, AI? Are we going to make it easier? Are we going to make it to where we can trust it? Are we relying too much on it? And I mean, relying too much on it. In the past, experience was the end all. It took 20, 30, 40 years in the industry to have this. Is this going to help the next generation accelerate their knowledge of forestry?
Man, you guys have been doing your homework, that's for sure. So this is how I look at this right here. And so I don't really have a pitch or anything like that. So hopefully this come across the right way. Think about Star Trek. So Joe, you probably watched Star Trek. Maybe Corey watched Star Trek. I grew up watching Star Trek, right? I grew up watching Kirk figure out problems. I figured out, you know, how Spock, you know, went at this thing. And then our new iterations of Star Trek had a little bit more open way of doing this. So for arborists, for the tree care industry, for us, generative AI is going to be just like computer. Computer, identify species. So on my channel, I'm not here to promote anything, but on my channel, we'll get to this at the end. So I've got several videos that talk about how we use this tool to do exactly that. And for the tree care industry, for arborists, for consulting arborists, for utility arborists, for municipal arborists, it's an answer machine. That's all it is. It's not going to take your job away. It's not going to prevent somebody from going up and climbing up 30 feet and dropping that limb or whatever. It's gonna answer questions. It's an answer machine. It's just like computer.
I think it's bigger than that. I think it's, you stopped at municipal arborist, and I'll let you can continue. This is DNR. This is U.S. Forest Service. This is bigger than that.
So
keep going. All right. I'm gonna take a sip and I'm gonna let you keep going, Dan.
Okay. So Joe and I did not plan, you know, what we're gonna talk about before this, but you figured out exactly where I'm going. So when we think about how we ask questions, right? So identify species. So I've got a video out there that says identify this species, and I've got a mushroom and I've got a, you know, a plant, right? So how do we go about doing this thing? And so then the way that I have set up my large language model, my GPT models, it says, give me more. Tell me how it's used in the landscape. Tell me the ethnobotanical, you know, uses for this kind of thing. So when I'm a consulting arborist out in the field, all I have to do is, you know, point my camera via the app at something and it says, okay. And then so I can have a custom instruction that says, is this going to be, you know, a viable plant in 60 years? And if the answer is no, then I can have a custom instruction that says, tell me where I go in 60 years, you know, where the plants that are there now. So for you guys back east, right? So you're looking central Michigan, upper Michigan, somewhere like that. You're looking more like central Indiana, northern Kentucky, southern Ohio, you know, depending upon your elevation, you know, those trees and understory shrubs that exist there. Right. And so we can use this AI to say, okay, you know, what's this list of trees there? And very soon, within a year, there are already companies, organizations, governments that are indexing their lists to be able to have an AI like ChatGPT or Bard or, you know, any of these other ones. I hate to use so many names because in 5 years, you know, will they be here, right? And so it's a little bit hard for me to use names, but generative AI, Gen AI, you know, whatever. I use ChatGPT as a shorthand. But in 5 years, when you use this tool to say, you know, help me figure out, you know, how to plant trees to ameliorate, you know, urban heat island, it's going to be, right, you know, 30 seconds and it's going to do that thing, right?
Dan, I see this as such a tool, you know, and I think, and I want people to have this distinction. I see it as a tool to limit the barriers for entry for professionals. Yes, obviously, Joe, I, Dan, a handful of people listening, we have this encyclopedia in our heads because we've been talking this stuff our whole lives. But as we're looking, as Joe's phasing out, as that generation, our generation is coming up.
Joe's phasing out.
He is.
There's some news.
I love you so much. but I want to phase out so bad. But
that's the
you're
thing.
You're done, pal. You're all done. Bye-bye.
People need to understand that this is a tool. It's, as Dan said, it's not replacing us. This is a tool. This is the future. How people use it is the future. You know, from a business perspective, I could look at AI and think, okay, how are you going to make a more effective business proposal, website, blah, 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 blah. I think it's great. I am a firm believer that, yeah, it's great. It's good to know the basics. You know, I've spent 20 something years trying to get here. But
as I phase out, Corey.
Yeah, Joe phased out.
As I phase out, let me ask you a question. Have you ever looked at the DIR manual?
Yeah, DIR's Woody Landscape Manual. Yeah. I've got it
that,
right here.
And that, you know, you're a bridging demographic.
Budding genius. No, I'm just kidding. A blooming idiot. Go on.
No, right. But I mean, I got a wall of books, and I remember looking through books. And I have a hard time with a lot of it, you know, like someone like a lot of companies use like a CRM, like Salesforce, and they use things that, you know, and that's more of a sales AI looking at statistics. But in the industry, all my life, I get books that I would pull a page up and I would go through the books. What we're talking about is streamlining that and using all of that to get to an answer quicker.
It's a tool. That's it.
So for me, this is the most important thing. So I grew up, my very first hockey game was at Olympia watching the Red Wings play the Blackhawks in like 1975. Right.
Oh, damn. You're such a cool dude. Olympia, Red Wings. Yep. You can't go any better than that.
Yep. Exactly. So I grew up during that time. Right. And so here we are with this library at our fingertips, and we can have that, you know, in our phone. Right. And it's, and so it's magical. But the thing is how you ask the question. Perfect. What is the question? And so we go back, and I brought up how old I am because that is Star Trek. Computer, tell me this, right? And very first Star Trek with Kirk and Spock, right? They were okay, right? And Uhura, and she asked her questions and everything. But the second one with Geordi and Data and some of the other characters, and you can see that the writers of that series understood what was coming to where we are today. And so you look at how Geordi and Data ask computer questions, and that's exactly how we have to do that today. And so I did that in a presentation that I did for Pacific Northwest ISA, and I'm going to expand upon that here very soon about how to ask questions in our industry. And so the thing about our industry is that there are so many things that you have to look at that you have to have experience that putting your cell phone up there and taking four or five or six pictures or whatever just isn't going to do it, right? You put a mallet on that thing and whack on that and look at, you know, walk around and take 20 minutes. You can't within the next 30 years have an AI do that. You know, maybe in 50, they can do that, and they're certainly going to help. Absolutely, they're going to help. And so you can look and say, let's say you're walking around a red maple, right? You know, somewhere, and it's got some bad crotch angles, and, you know, maybe there's a little bit of, you know, black weeping down, and, you know, you can see there's some sooty mold and all that kind of stuff. So the AI is going to help you say, oh, you know, 20% of the red maples with sooty mold, you know, to this extent, you know, have, you know, branch problems for, you know, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. Sure. Right.
Oh, in this region, this state, in this county, this is what we found, blah, you know.
Yep.
You said something that I keep resonating in my back, and you said library at your fingertips. That was a very, very cool way to understand what this is going to be. Two, bridging demographics. AI is a tool to create a library at your fingertips.
So what I used to say a long time ago, you know, before this thing came on, was that and I used to run across this all the time and used to drive me crazy, is that Google doesn't have a wisdom button.
Ooh, that's a...
Exactly. And so now here we are with AI that has an even wider reach, and that requires us to ask the right questions. And so Joe homeowner can't say, you know, oh, you know, is my tree doomed? Right. And the AI isn't going to return a response that's going to be, you know, useful for anybody. But you get a, you know, BCMA or, you know, ISA certified arborist with a track qualification, or, you know, start talking about throwing out TLAs, you know, for, you know, our qualifications. And, you know, somebody with 7 TLAs at the end of their name walks out somewhere and, you know, takes 8, 9, 10 images and then asks the AI to say, hey, what's this? Right? I've never seen this shelf fungus before. You know, tell me what this Ganoderma is right here. You know, here, let me break off this bottom of this, you know, fungus and look at this right here and identify this exactly right on. You know, that's where the experience and the knowledge comes in, where you have this, it's the Alexandria Library on your phone. So, you know, provided you have access, you know, and connectivity, you know, that's what it is right there.
Well, I think you've touched on some key points. We are going to end up wrapping up this conversation soon, but I would like you to still get a couple things that you want to put out there, including where people can learn more, but any final points that you want to get across, as well as where can people find out more?
Well, so you can go to arbordrone.net. And so I've got all my information on there, and I've got an ArborDrone channel expanding at least weekly, hopefully on the YouTubes. So I've got you know, a couple more videos in the hopper ready to go to explain, you know, how to use these tools right here. And what I really would say is that try out the ChatGPT or the Bard or whatever, right? Put that app on your phone, you know, at least go out in the field and look at it and, you know, try and take pictures and identify stuff and try and learn how that works, to get your mind around, you know, what this is, that this tool is, that you can use for, you know, something for your business or your company or for your neighbor or for your community or whatever, because we are going to have a tree canopy overturning, and we need to have new trees, and we need to figure out how to get our mind around what these new trees are going to be, where we need to go. And these tools, these AI tools, you know, whatever their name is, Bard or ChatGPT or whatever, is going to be in 3 years, they could be completely different, but the learning how to ask these tools questions to get the response that you want is a learned skill. It's not a hard learned skill. You can learn it in a few days, but it gives you an edge. It gives you that thing where you can, you know, you're in the field and let's say you're up for a job interview or something like that. Say, blah, 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 you know, and in 20 seconds, you have an answer to show how you can use this tool. And that's an advantage for you.
You know what? I like the fact that you said you have to learn how to ask the question. And that's phenomenal advice as we wrap up tonight, is that if you don't know what you're asking, how do you expect to get the right answer? And AI is the wave of the future. We already know that. If you don't know the terms, if you don't know the parts of a tree, if you don't know A, B, and C, how can you ask, right, and how can you get the right question? I think it comes down to that, Dan, and that's huge. That is a presentation right there for ISA, local chapters, anywhere. Ask the right question to get the right answer. And I think that's absolutely brilliant. And thank you so much for your time and putting us at that point, because this is the way of the future. Get on board or grab a handful of dirt and smell it and say it. You know, I don't know what to say, but Corey, help me here as I'm going. I don't want to be disrespectful, but
although
we
take
care of trees, we have to evolve.
Yeah, we have to evolve as Joe phases out and the new generation the new generation phases in, and Dan and myself and you and all the listeners go cut our broccoli properly. just remember that, you know, with all this power comes a lot of responsibility, but it also comes a learning curve. And if we just keep our minds open and we move this thing forward, I'm excited for where this is going to take us. So Dan, once again, truly thank you. Joe, always a pleasure. Listeners, we really appreciate having you. So thank you so much.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Hey, great topic today.
Yes, and lots of good information.
Yeah, probably one of our best yet.
If you enjoyed the podcast or have topics you would like to discuss, please send them to discoveringforestry@gmail.com. And please hit the subscribe button and tell a friend.
Thanks, guys, for tuning in. Until next time, I'm Joe.
And I'm Corey.
Signing out.